The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Exit stage left. It's the news of the day and a historic moment in US politics. President Joe Biden formally ended his re-election bid and endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to succeed him. Now, she would be the first woman of colour, the first Asian American to lead the ticket of a major political party. She will come up against former President Donald Trump in that race for the White House that has changed completely in the last 24 hours. Now, our reporter Josh Crosby is in Chicago, and he got ordinary voters' reaction to that announcement of President Joe Biden.
You know, now Trump has to deal with many of the allegations and issues that Biden, you know, succumbed to, right? He's also an old candidate. He is incoherent most of the time. So let's see how he deals with it.
I think Joe Biden did a fairly good job, but I was worried that too many people would abstain from voting. So I was afraid that Trump would get reelected, and it's still possible.
Who would you like to see the Democrats nominate now?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Kamala Harris is a name that's been...
Yeah, Kamala Harris. I haven't done enough research to know how I feel about her. I would like to see someone truly progressive elected. And I don't know that Joe Biden filled that definition for me, even though, you know, on certain issues he tried. But I think he's a lot more of a centrist, and I would like to see someone more seriously progressive.
So what was your reaction when you heard the news that Joe Biden was standing down?
Yeah, finally. Yeah, his performance at the debate was terrible. I think everyone had heard rumors and understood that he's probably too old to fulfill the necessary required duties of the presidency. And so luckily he did it, and I think we have enough time, or at least the Democratic Party has enough time to scramble and figure out
who's going to fill. It's a tight window, though.
You know, it's happened before. It's 330 million people in this country, plenty of smart individuals. I think there's someone that can fill it in.
And is there anyone in particular that comes to mind for you? Or
no, let's see who performs well, right? This is a chance to shine a spotlight on a bunch of future leaders. Hopefully someone will rise to the occasion and challenge what I think is a pretty concerning thought or future where we have Trump in a second term.
Actually, I was kind of excited because I think it's just going to shake the race up in a positive way because I'm Democratic-leaning.
So you're Democratic-leaning, so you're happy to see Joe go?
Honestly, yes. I actually respect the president. I think he's done a good job, but I think his campaign was not going in the right direction, so I think this is going to shake it up in a positive way for the Democratic Party.
And who would you like to see the Democrats nominate?
That's a tough question. Actually, I like Kamala Harris. I will back her, certainly, if she ends up being the nominee.
Well, I was glad he dropped out, but now I'm not sure because I don't know who's going to go in. You know, Harris is probably going to take his spot. That's kind of scary, too.
You wouldn't be happy with Kamala Harris in the White House?
No.
Who would you want to see in there?
Trump.
Is this a positive or a negative for the Republicans, do you think?
It's scary, I think, because we don't know what she's going to do for the next couple months. He's dropping out of the, you know, for next year, but what's he going to do for the rest of this time?
Are you worried about who the opponent could potentially be?
Yes, could be another woman.
As a woman, you wouldn't like to see a woman in the White House?
Not the Democratic ones, no.
Now, that's a very interesting vox pop from Josh Crosby. Of course, things have probably clarified a bit with the support for Kamala Harris becoming more apparent among senior party members. I'm joined now by Scott Lucas, who's professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Scott, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
So is it a done deal for Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I think so, Pat. I mean, formally, it has to go to the convention. She'll have to be approved by the delegates there. But what we saw as soon as Biden announced on social media he was withdrawing was the rollout of what was a pretty organized effort. First of all, to promote Harris, to promote her record. That started with Biden's endorsement. It followed with the endorsement of other senior Democrats. About 500 delegates, that's out of a total of 4,700, have already endorsed her. And then you had other candidates who could have made a challenge, such as Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania and Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, ruled themselves out. So at this point, I don't see a heavyweight contender against her, especially because the Democrats are pushing unity on two fronts. One, unity within the party, and two, unifying America against the threat of a Trump presidency to the entire system.
Now, Gavin Newsom, really, I mean, is California, so she's California, he's California. You could not have the two of them on the ticket, for example, as president and vice president, because they have to be from separate places.
Yeah, you have to balance it geographically. But here, the Democrats don't have a shortage of talent, especially, I think, they're going to balance with a white male for the sake of gender and race. You could talk about, again, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, who's been widely acclaimed, and that is a swing state. You could talk about Governor Roy Cooper of North Carolina, relatively newer to the scene, but again, a Democrat in a Republican-leaning state, has been quite impressive. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois. Pritzker is very, very solid, but Illinois is probably already locked in for the Democrats, so that reduces that possibility a bit. Another possibility, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. Again, potentially a swing state if the election leans heavily against Trump this autumn.
The question of Kamala Harris herself, I mean, she has been, on this side of the Atlantic, somewhat invisible to us. Has she been more visible stateside in terms of the speeches she's made and the places she's canvassed?
No, until recently, the Biden folks blocked her. And that, you know, Biden was supposed to be a one-term president. He called himself a transitional president. When he decided to run for a second term, she became a threat because she was the heir apparent. And so the Biden folks pushed her into the shadows. And when they brought her out, you know, they gave her really, you know, the lightning rod appearances, such as going to the southern border on the immigration issue. Once the possibility of Biden stepping aside arose, so probably in the last 3 weeks, she's become much more prominent. She's given speeches in key states like Nevada, North Carolina, also went to Louisiana. Those speeches have received positive acclaim. She's been quite forceful. She showed, you know, her competence and her ability while always backing Biden, never actually calling for him to step aside. So she's got a good platform now. I mean, if in a soundbite, this election reset last night.
Okay, now Donald Trump is has become the oldest candidate ever for the presidency of the United States, and Kamala Harris 20 years younger. So that youth and age thing is going to come into play, I've no doubt. But I mean, we can tell from the tone of Trump's remarks about Kamala Harris the way this is going to go. He's going to deride her. Have a listen.
Kamala, I call her laughing Kamala. You ever watch her laugh? She's crazy. You know, you can tell a lot by a laugh. No, she's crazy. She's nuts.
She's nuts. That's the way he's going to go. Now, there's a risk involved for Trump having a go at a woman, number one, particularly a man who's got a track record of bad behavior towards women. And secondly, she is a woman of color, and that presents its own difficulties for Trump.
You got that right, Pat. Now, he's appealing to his base. And we know that they'll love to insult Kamala, and we know that the race card is already there. But, of course, you don't win elections off your base. You win elections in the center off of undecided voters. So in addition to what you just mentioned, which is that Trump is misogynist, that women's rights are going to be one of the leading issues in this campaign if the U.S. media gets its act together, especially abortion rights. And also the fact is that Kamala fights back. You know, in 2020, when in the vice presidential debate with Mike Pence, she effectively won that debate just by simply casting him a hard gaze and saying, "I'm speaking," when he tried to talk over her. So this will not be a repeat of 2016 when Donald Trump trashed Hillary Clinton the whole time and then stalked her across the stage because of one other thing. Kamala Harris is a former prosecutor, and this narrative of prosecutor versus convicted felon is going to be one that the Democrats will be playing out for the next 3.5 months.
Now, the Republicans will publicly say they don't care who the opponent is. They would have preferred Biden because he was enfeebled, I suppose, in the last few months, visibly enfeebled. But they don't care who it is. Do you believe them?
No. Trump had the keys to the White House, Pat. You know, with all respect to Joe Biden and all the achievements of this administration, the most important since the 60s, the oxygen was sucked out of the room by old Joe, each and every day. So two things happen now. One, you actually get issues, not just women's rights, but climate change, the economy, immigration, education, healthcare, foreign policy, all can come back in. And secondly, the issue topping all of that is Trump's threat to democracy. You're going to hear the words Project 2025 a lot, which are this Trump plan to actually pack the agencies and to break them down to serve his will. Kamala Harris can deliver that message forcefully. Joe Biden couldn't.
Now, what about the threat of legal action by the Republicans? I mean, if they're not happy with this change of tack by the Democrats, they may mount a legal challenge preventing Kamala Harris from accessing the funds that have been collected for the Biden campaign. They may talk about whether or not, when you've got people elected to be a candidate in a primary, whether changing horses is a legal course.
The first one doesn't wash, because when funds were given to a campaign, they were given to the Biden-Harris campaign, not just to Joe Biden. So that's one of Harris's big advantages over other potential candidates. She has access to those funds. You know, that's a done deal. There is a minor issue, relatively minor issue, which is that Ohio requires a candidate to be registered for November by August the 7th, I think it is, which is before the Democratic convention. I suspect there'll be a workaround where they'll allow whoever the Democrats to select to be on there. The Republicans are none. They're not on the solid ground to threaten legal action, given Trump's own problems. So I think what's more likely is Trump will use this to shout that the election is rigged when he tries to discredit it, which he inevitably will be doing in the months to come. Mm.
So from the sound of it, Scott, you believe it's game on now?
Yeah, it's totally game on, Pat. I mean, the fact is that what matters in U.S. politics is not, you know, the course of an election over several months. It's the news cycle, which can move quickly within weeks and even days. Traditionally, the U.S. presidential campaign didn't start until the first Monday in September, the Labor Day holiday. We are back where we thought we would be back in 2021, which is Kamala Harris running off the strength of the Biden administration versus Donald Trump. We got there late, but we are there now. And there is anyone that predicts the outcome of this election, I'll be happy to take their money off of them because they're a fool.
Scott Lucas, a professor, political analyst at the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin. Scott, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.